The Carmen and Yurko podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Go to Tito'sHometownTales.com and hear the stories of Chicago's defining sports moments through the lens of your favorite ESPN 1000 hosts. That's Tito'sHometownTales.com.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko.
Stream ESPN 1000 easily on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
It's 10 o'clock. Time for the Carmen and Yurko Show Crosstalk, brought to you by Hawthorne Racecourse. Harness Racing is back at Hawthorne Racecourse with betting action every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night under the lights. All starts at 7. Try that first turn terrace. It's awesome. Points Bet Sportsbook as well. Details at HawthorneRacecourse.com. Thank you, Jed Hoyer from the Cubs. Rick Hahn from the White Sox. Thank you, Danny and Jeff.
Carmen Yurko, ba 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 ba. What's up, fellas?
Morning, what boys. Morning.
What's going on?
What weekend, yes. Huh?
Hey, happy Monday.
Happy Monday.
Monday. As Neil Funk would say, Monday. Tuesday.
Happy Monday.
Monday. A Sox 2 out of 3.
2 out of 3.
Tough one on Saturday. Big spot. But then they come back and they win on Sunday.
What a game. The 2 walk-off home runs for the White Sox this year. Gavin Sheets and Brian Goodwin.
Go figure. That?
On August 2nd. Go figure.
As I told Rick, that's not in the script.
That's not.
That's not what was supposed to happen this year.
No.
Unsung heroes everywhere.
Vegas would have given, they would have given you 500
top
to one.
Top
they
dollar.
500 at start of the year. Hey, I want to make top a bet. Bucks. August 1st, the 2 White Sox walk-offs will be Gavin Sheets and Brian Goodwin. They'd say, 500 to 1.
At least. I mean, give me a Leicester City odds. 5,000 to 1.
5,000 to 1. It's like, come on.
There's a charm season.
Yeah, that's what it sometimes means.
You know? How about Tony running out to home plate?
I was a little surprised at his reaction.
Was that a saunter?
I mean,
there
was genuine concern there, I think, from Roberto Perez. And I mean, obviously, they're not trying to hit him in the head with the bases loaded in a one-run game.
Looked like he was beside himself.
Yeah, I mean, you could tell from his reaction. I think Perez was genuinely concerned. I mean, that was a somewhat odd reaction from Tony.
If I'm the catcher in that spot, you're not going to push me. I'll push the old man down, Zimmer style.
Zimmer style.
Roberto Perez, what are you, Pedro
Martinez?
Who are you pushing on, man?
He couldn't believe it. I guess Tony, you know, is defending his guy, so that's good.
When you wake up from a nap like that, all of a sudden you kind of, whoa, what happened? You know, you're just out there firing on the other jersey. That's
it was a little crazy.
There's memes of Tony's trot everywhere. I mean, he's in the Olympics. Mm-hmm. They got like a picture of him in the Olympics crossing the finish line.
You know,
he's everywhere.
For a 76-year-old guy, Tony got out of that dugout pretty quick.
He did.
He's pretty spry still. You know,
what a stride.
Yeah.
What a stride.
Listen, I hope I'm 76. I hope I'm running like that. I don't know.
Happy the Achilles didn't pop on the way. You know,
That's how special Abreu is when you get the Tony Trot going. He goes out there to protect his player.
Man, I tell you, the poor guy's just been beat on all year.
It's not right.
You know, and like the nagging injuries, and he hit twice over the weekend, and just he's slumping again. I think I called for the break, you know, leading into the All-Star break. I'm like, you know, Jesse and I were in agreement on that. I'm like, they should just give him a 10-day stint, let him have the All-Star break. Then they don't. He goes out and he smashes the ball for the first 10 days of July. I mean, like, he smashed the cover off. I'm like, all right, I guess he doesn't need a break. But I don't know. He looks like he could use a physical and mental break. He never wants to come out of the game, but my God.
He's a beast.
He is, but he looks like he could use a week off.
By the way, I didn't know your son was Steve Stone. I mean, he calls the Goodwin homer.
Yeah, called it. He goes, man, I think maybe because he was starting to get a little bit. We were watching the last couple innings. These kids, they don't have the attention spans, you know? And like, my son loves baseball, loves to play, but watching is still, they like highlights. Yeah. They want to watch MLB.com.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah.
And so I think it was, some of it might have been like, yeah, we've been sitting here for a while now, and this game's not over yet. And he goes, man, I hope he just throws him a strike so Goodwin can hit it out. And boom. It was hilarious. And
there it goes.
The minute Goodwin hit it, I go, you called it. He's looking at me like, what? He goes,
what did I do, Dad?
Yeah. He goes, he hit a home run.
I did a good thing for a bad man.
Exactly. Bronx Tale style. Yeah.
So what did you think about Jed Hoyer pushing back on the narrative where, like Chris Bryant said, I never saw this big extension?
Well, isn't this subjective? Like, so what is Jed is really saying that, oh, no, we offered an extension. That extension could have been for $150 million. I don't know. And Chris Bryant is specifically answering questions about a $250 million extension. He's like, I was never offered that. Both could be true in this scenario, right?
Well, Yerk, what I said to Cap was, this was offered 18 or 19. You didn't know a pandemic was coming. So, of course, if you're an athlete and you feel like that you're at the top of your game, you're going to bet on yourself. So if you feel like, if you and your agent feel like, okay, we shouldn't sell for $150 million, I want $200, of course you're going to ask for it, right?
Yeah.
But then, of course, the biblical proportions came in with the Ricketts and the Cubs management ownership.
Yeah, I don't think you ever saw baseball revenues flatten here in the last 40, 50 years. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's been a time where you've had it flat. There's always been increases over the course of time. Mm-hmm. And I would have just, you know, simply equated to him, who's not telling the truth? I mean, did you guys offer him or did he not get an offer? Or is the truth somewhere in the middle? I have a feeling the truth is somewhere in the middle, that they believe or they've discussed amongst themselves or, you know, with agents of what those extensions would look like. And then the agents are saying, that's just not going to happen.
Right.
That's not party to something like that. Though if an official offer does come down the table, it is imperative that the agent does convey that message
to his client.
Yes.
Or he could be disbarred.
Right.
If he's
an not disbarred.
Yes, you can be disbarred.
They can take away his agent thing away from him for sure.
No, if he's an attorney, he can be disbarred.
If you don't present a contract?
Right? He's a barrister? Present an offer. You're given something, you must present it.
I think this, Yurko's right. It's somewhere in between. Like, my guess is, this is kind of like the White Sox saying their offer to Manny was better. Well, it really wasn't. You know, like, in your mind, somehow it was, but it wasn't. It was actually $50 million less. Like, you know, Jed's like, no, we made a great offer to him, and that great offer in his mind is $150 million, and Chris Bryant and Boris were like, are you crazy?
$250 million
Yeah, $250 million
Right? Let's be in the middle then, right?
Yeah, well, or you could maybe, but I don't even know if it ever came to that. I think both things are true.
It need to happen. I think everybody was tired of everybody. Whether you like it or not, I even think fans were tired of the lack of winning, the lack of productivity, the injury. I just think a divorce needed to happen for the betterment of all parties. And the way it happened on Friday was the only way it was going to get done.
It was something, wasn't
it? That was it. Yeah. One after the other.
Pinella.
I was looking good. Only if he had his shirt off, then you'd know it was Pinella for sure.
Yeah.
The way it happened was kind of fun. It was fun. Everybody going everywhere.
Yeah.
All right, there it is. It's gone. Player's gone. Player's here. And we were asking the question before we left, who's going to stay? Who's going to stay? Well, Contreras.
We knew Contreras would stay.
And the guy that you couldn't trade.
No.
It didn't make a difference what you were going to do. You're never going to be able to trade his contract expires.
No.
Then you finally get to say goodbye to him. Exactly.
Yeah.
Two more years, right fielder.
Two more seasons.
Oh, my God. Just like lead weights, like 50-pound concrete boots, and you're going over the edge of a boat.
That's
the Hayward contract.
Chris Bryant also had some interesting remarks to the San Francisco media that Craig Kimbrell, I did not know this, has a child that's been dealing with a heart problem, did not want to leave town, either keep me a Cub, or when he heard the White Sox were involved, and he said that was a class move by the Cubs to make sure he got to the White Sox.
Yeah, I mean, it's great for the White Sox. Sylvie finally gets Nick Madrigal. I know he's happy about that. So it's a win-win for everybody, I guess. Nicky, two strikes on the north side, and a dominant relief man to go with the back end of their bullpen on the south side. It's a win-win.
I read these numbers. Hoodie and I were talking about it. Madrigal's last 80 plate appearances before he hit the IL with the hamstring, hit 365, 420, 568 with a 174 weighted runs created plus.
That's fabulous.
That's great.
That's insane numbers.
Darwin Barney's going to be great on the north side again.
I appreciate his ability to make contact. I really do. I think there's a lower ceiling on a player like Madrigal. I'm fine with it. Like when I found out they didn't have to give up Garrett Crochet or
no problem with that.
Yeah, I was told the Cubs turned him down.
Wow. Okay. Wow.
And wanted Madrigal.
Something they didn't like. Well, I guess they need, maybe Madrigal feels more of a need for them now, knowing everything else that they did. You know,
it's fine. I couldn't care less.
I
see a guy that just needs to improve on his fundamentals. As far as base running, defense, and just be better. Now, as far as Nicky Two Strikes, yeah, he was able to, you know, he's part of the magic of this White Sox team for sure. If you're a Cub fan, you're hoping that he can be part of your future.
Horner and Madrigal.
Sure.
Six pitchers came back. One lefty, five righties.
Yeah.
Great. Let's hope one of them.
Got a lot of prospects.
I'm not looking for six to hit, Carm.
No,
give me one.
If you get two out of all of them.
Carm, if you give me one, I'd be jumping.
Cody Hoyer.
What about Hoyer?
Cody Hoyer. You got Cody Hoyer now. Pete Crow. Who's the kid?
Pete Crow Armstrong.
Yeah, Pete Crow Armstrong. That's the one that has got a lot of people buzzing a little bit amongst Cub Nation.
Did you see the tweet that Chris Kampka put out about Pete Crow Armstrong? His mother was in the movie Little Big League.
And also has huge hands. His mother, I got to tell you, he's got huge hands. I'm telling you right now.
All right, Jerry.
All right, get out of there, wow. Jerry. We're not talking about Eddie Curry's
huge mama. Hands. So his she was mama, in the movie Little Big League, huh?
Yeah.
That's funny.
His yeah. Mama got huge.
Growth plates are open. Mom's got big hands.
Wow.
You should see his mom's hands.
Oh, the mama's
all
hands.
All right. Okay.
All right, Jerry.
That's how we're picking players now? Okay.
That's your era.
Yeah. Right.
That's your era of Bulls basketball.
Good Lord.
Yeah. Actress Ashley Crow played Billy's mom in the movie Little Big League.
How about that?
Check us out, York.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
I don't pretty remember cool. the movie, Little Big League. Help me.
Little Big League was the one where Little the kid was the manager,
the kid was
right?
the manager.
He became the grandfather owned the twins, right? The grandfather, isn't that the story? Somehow he became the manager of the twins. He was like 11, you know?
Yes.
If I'm remembering the right movie, I think that's a little bit.
You are correct.
I think right? that is yeah. correct, yes.
Yeah.
Is Russell Crowe his father?
No. Not Russell Crowe, no.
I'm just trying to put it all together, guys.
I ain't Russell Crowe.
You guys caught me in a little bit of a daze. Nobody want to talk about the women's soccer team?
They lost.
Anybody want to talk about them?
Is your mic open?
You want to talk about that
you
women's soccer team?
They lost.
Open the mic there. Go ahead.
I thought it was really sad for the U.S. because that girl was just going to kick the ball out and didn't realize there was a Canadian player on her heels. Mm. And when she went to make the kick on the ball, the Canadian player appeared. And it was foul. I mean, it was a foul. But it does end this era of U.S. women's soccer. Mm. And now they've got to get the young girls in.
Every great dynasty must
right,
end.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah. The women's soccer team has been a treasure for us for 20
and remember
years.
The name.
Now it's time to turn it over.
Now that's remember correct. The name. That's the way it always works. You got to turn it over. Trinity Rodman.
And that's Dennis's daughter.
Mm. Trinity Rodman.
Yurko's okay. scouted her. Said that
she
looks great on tape.
Vince Kautner, yeah.
yeah.
Young, 19 years old.
Now you turn it over.
19 years old.
Turn it over.
Oh. She plays for Washington.
Every great dynasty ends, boys.
By the way, a good source just said to me, no, Crochet was not ever going to be in that deal.
Never going to be.
Sox are not putting that guy in.
I'm glad they didn't have to give up Crochet or obviously we're going to give up
Ball. That's big enough.
They weren't giving up Vaughn.
Cody Hoyer has a chance in the back end of the Cubs pen.
He's had a rough year, but he's got good stuff.
Great stuff.
He's got great stuff. You're right. Not good. Great.
The bullpen that Rick has now constructed, you could give me 5 innings out of my starter,
that's
and
it,
I can
man.
Get the Kopech, Bummer, Kimbrel, Hendricks.
It's awesome. It's got Crochet. A 14-15 Royals feel to it.
It does.
It's a 6-inning game.
Kimbrel, where are you going to play
him? Where are you going to play him?
I've got Hendricks.
Yes.
7-8-9. Yes.
Take that.
Hell yeah.
I love it.
So now, for now, who are? Karen?
He's got a shot.
You got a whore on your team. I'm going to talk to everyone. But now you have an experiment here with Hoyer because now you see where he fits, Cap, for your future. 7-8.
He's got closer potential. He does. I know it's been a rough year, but he's got closer potential.
Well,
All right, boys.
You guys have a good great day. Show. Hoodie, I'll see you at 7 a.m.
Kick us out here.
All right, we're out of here.
What's it?
Ciao. Carmen and Yurko are next. Don't forget Waddle and Sylvia, too. Take that.
It's not right.
It's Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
And now he throws one deep to right field. There it goes. See ya. His first Yankee home run, and it gives the Yankees a 1-0 lead.
Welcome to the team. 0-0 game. Anthony Rizzo, a no-doubter to right center field.
Alonso at first and two out, and Baez gets one in the air on the field. Winker going back, looking up, and it's out of here! Javi Baez with a two-run homer. A towering shot. His first home run as a New York Met. Coming in his first game for the Mets.
Deep left field. It is a home run. Chris Bryant
in his first game as a Giant, has hit a home run for the Giants' first run of the day. Bryant, the Giant.
Great job, Miller. I love it. Well, it's a great Monday, especially for White Sox fans. I think it's maybe it was a little bit of a bittersweet weekend for Cubs fans. We're here to talk about it. Yurko's back. He wasn't here to talk about the Rizzo deal because that happened late Thursday.
I was not.
And Meller and I were up at Buttermilk. We're right back at Buttermilk, by the way, in Vernon Hills for Bears training camp this Friday, FYI. And Yurk and I will be there starting at 10. But Yurk is back, and now we can really dive into the craziness that was Friday afternoon. That was a day to remember. And I think, you know, we knew a lot of Cubs were going to go. Maybe we didn't know it was going to happen in the fashion in which it did. Ultimately, what, I think 9 Cubs traded at this deadline or thereabouts. Jock Peterson, Andrew Chafin, Ryan Tepera, Trevor Williams, Craig Kimbrell, Jake Marisnyk, Anthony Rizzo, Javi Baez, and Chris Bryant. The last three being the three most important in terms of what they meant to probably the golden era of Cubs baseball. I mean, who the hell wants to go back to the early 20th century?
You can't.
Or even the 1930s. Yeah. 15 through 20 was kind of the golden age of Cubs baseball. The rebuild, finally winning. Right? And the three of the four, I guess, of the most significant guys are all gone, and a couple of them were traded within 90 minutes of each other. I mean, it was a wild day.
It was a 6-year run, Carm. It was a 6-year run up on the north side, and it was wonderful.
It's the golden era.
And it got, you have your World Series championship. You got it in 2016. You were in the NLCS 3 years in a row. You were in the playoffs 5 out of 6 years. Was there disappointment? Sure. Were there a lot of expectations? Yes. Was it enough just to get one World Series? Probably not. But you did compete 3 straight years. What a chance, if you win that series, you end up going to the World Series. What a chance to win that thing. They got through once. They won once. So congratulations go out to those guys. And now, you know what? It's time to rebuild, reshuffle the deck.
They got a lot of prospects and a couple of major league players for everything that they did trade away. And now you hope a couple of those hit. Maybe the Cubs are a player in free agency. We'll see how they want to address that in the offseason. For the White Sox, they're locked and loaded. You know, we know that they're a very good team. We know that they're a very good team despite being incomplete. They've been incomplete almost all year because of the injuries.
Whether you believe it or not, you're in year 2 of your dynasty run.
Well, it's no dynasty run yet.
Well, no. You're in year 2 of your dynasty run.
You're in
run.
Year 2 of your championship window.
There you go. But it's your theoretical dynasty
correct.
Run.
And now
your championship window started last year when you made the playoffs.
They're locked and loaded now.
Now, that may be premature, and it may be earlier than you thought you were going to get there. But rest assured, my friend, your championship window started last year, and your clock is ticking. And they turned the sands through the hourglass over last year, and at some point there's going to be an expiration date on your championship window also.
And so what did Rick do? He went out and he added the guy who's been the best reliever in baseball this year to pair with a closer they already have that is at an elite level. They added a second baseman that they needed desperately because of injury. You know, they add another bullpen arm. But, I mean, really, the whale here, the white whale, I mean, it's getting Kimbrel. That's the deal, right? And when I saw Cap tweet about it, we were already off the air. Meller and I were off the air maybe 30 minutes or so. And I saw Cap tweet about it. He said, hey, sources telling me that there's still some maneuvering here and there's still some talks. Remember a week ago today, I think it was last Monday, maybe Tuesday, I said, man, I was going back and forth with an MLB person I know, and, you know, they brought up Kimbrel again to the Sox. And I said, you know, when we start hearing it from multiple places, you believe that, okay, where there's smoke, there's fire. It all started about 3 weeks ago when Jeff Passan told us this when we had him on.
If you're going to go after someone at this point and you're going to pay the money, go get Kimbrel. Mm. Like, can you imagine a back end of the bullpen with Liam Hendricks and Craig Kimbrel? God almighty.
I mean, he might not have a say in it. Would Kimbrel be okay with not closing out games? I mean, it seems like that'd be Hendricks' job still.
Yeah, I think Kimbrel would be okay winning a ring.
That was 3 weeks ago, almost. My reaction says it all there.
If you're going to go after someone at this point and you're going to pay the money, go get Kimbrel.
Passan hears things. And then last week, as I brought to the air last Monday or Tuesday, somebody else said something to me about the White Sox and Kimbrel. I'm like, man. And then Cap's tweet, and I'm like, are they going to do this? Are they going to get Craig Kimbrel? And I still didn't know if I believed it. I'm like, the Dodgers are going to freaking swoop in here.
Dodgers, Kenley stunk the last couple of weeks. The Dodgers are going to get him. The Padres are going to swoop in with
the
their
Dodgers
system.
Did their own thing, guys.
They did. They
don't
did.
You worry about it. They did
and
whatever
they
wanted.
And then the White Sox got him. And I think Mellor, I think I found out originally from on our big group text chain that we have here, Mellor tweeted like the exploding head emoji, like three of them in a row. And immediately I went, oh, my God, did they do it? And they did. And I was like, wow. I mean, this is like being ballsy and bold and what you have to do when you do believe you're in what you just termed that dynasty window, that championship window.
So your chips are all in and you're hoping you got pocket aces. Not chips in with a pair of sevens, kid. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, a couple of walking
pockets,
sticks.
Yeah. Pocket sevens don't really work against pocket aces.
No, I want the pocket
aces.
So
we'll see. The White Sox are all in.
They're all in.
Sox are all in. They're in there. They're in this thing to win this.
And they didn't have, not that they were ever going to give up Kopech or Vaughn. They didn't have to give up Garrett Crochet. They didn't give up any of their top prospects. Nick Madrigal's a nice player. Like, you know, Sylvie and I have joked and we've busted each other's chops a little bit about how we feel about Nick Madrigal. I think Nick's got a lower ceiling.
But he might be a guy that reaches that ceiling.
Yeah, I mean, I have no doubts that he's going to have a long career because he, you know, he puts the ball in play. When he's right, he's a pretty good defensive player. We've seen some issues, but I think he'll work some of those things out. Like, he puts the ball in play. Nick's, you know, like, but it's increasingly difficult to score runs by just stringing hits together. And I think there's a lower ceiling with players that just, really have no slug. And I know Cap read some of his love numbers in a small sample before he got hurt. He had heated up a little. But look, I mean, he's never going to, you're never talking about an 800 OPS guy here. Or, you know, I mean, that's not going to be Nick Madrigal.
Thanks, Cubs!
Does he have a skill set? Sure. But that, you know, that's the guy they had to give up and sacrifice. Where you can go out in the free agent market and you can bring back Marcus Semien if you want to play second for you. Maybe you pick up the contract on Cesar Hernandez for next year. Rick hinted at that when he was on with Cap and Hoodie. I thought that I couldn't, when I saw it, I'm like, this is real. This is too good to be true. Now, Nick Madrigal might go on to have an eight-time All-Star. Fine. But, like, I saw it. My reaction was, wow. That was my reaction. Why, in a good way.
And my reaction, Carm, down there vacationing in Fort Myers Beach, Florida, by the poolside, was like, boy, opposite ends of the spectrum for me. Selling, it's over. You, let's go for it. Charge. These are going to be good times for White Sox fans heading forward. Hopefully, it comes to fruition. You end up with a World Series championship at some point.
Sox and Cubs fans, Sox fans, you can give us your thoughts. And it was all over the gamut on Friday, listening to Waddle and Sylvie. I mean, one Sox fan's upset at Rick Hahn for trading Madrigal, and he said something about the dynasty that the Cubs are going to build around Nico Hoerner and Nick Madrigal, and I was like, whoa, we're really... And then another Cub fan called and said, that's it, they're never going to win for another 108 years. And everybody's emotions were all over the place on Friday. It was pretty wild. You've had a few days to process it. What do you think? 312-332-3776 if you want to join us. Last week was such a busy whirlwind week. This is going to be another action-packed week, I think. We're rolling right into free agency in the NBA. I think the Bulls are definitely in on Lonzo. Again, it goes back to there's just where there's smoke, there's fire. There's too much connecting them. Now, they might not ultimately end up with him, but I think the Bulls are definitely in on Lonzo. They did exercise they extended the qualifying offer to Lowry. I think it's important for sign and trade purposes. There were some rumors over the weekend that both camps, both Lowry's camp, maybe knowing that he needs a fresh start, and the Bulls are looking at some sign and trade possibilities. So I think it's going to be a big week for the Bulls, potentially. Brennan's in Crystal Lake with Carmen and Yurko. Hey, Brennan.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Love all the shows on ESPN 1000, but you guys are the best, in my opinion. So thank you very much getting us through the day.
Thank you.
Smart.
I like the Kimbrel move for the Sox. I like the Hernandez move. I like the move to get the second baseman from the Indians as well. But I got to be honest, I feel like they kind of missed out on not getting another starting pitcher, whether it's a fourth or a fifth guy. You didn't have to go out and get Scherzer and give up the farm, but I feel like you could have gone out there and got an innings eater, because I don't know how much I trust not going into the postseason at least having like 4 to 6, like, hey, we have 4 to 6 legitimate guys who can either start games or go long innings for us, and I feel like that might hurt them down the stretch. I don't know what you guys think, but again, thanks a lot, guys. Great show.
Thanks, Brennan. Fair enough. I mean, there's an old expression, you can never have too much pitching. I think they feel good about their starting pitching. If they're going to question one thing, it might be Rodon. Can he continue to be as dominant as he was in the first half? He's never, like,
all the injuries, you know, we're at a point here where Rodon's arm is probably going to be more taxed than it's ever been going into.
You're not going to be using five starters anyway.
You're not. That's true.
Right? But so three, maybe four. Three, maybe four.
Keuchel's looking like.
And listen, right now that's what it
rough.
Looks like.
Yeah, it looks rough.
Your judgments will come in September.
Yeah.
In September. At that point is when you start making some thoughts or some decisions on what you plan on doing. You got the luxury of having a huge lead. So now you sit there and you position yourself, want to play solid baseball, keeping things loose.
Rickon talks about picking up the option on Craig Kimbrell's contract. Jed Hoyer talks about extensions that were or weren't offered or extended to Chris Bryant. We're going to play a bunch of sound from both general managers that were on the station earlier today with Cap and Hoodie. We'll do that when we come back next.
Zoning out on that Zoom meeting? Zoom. Find out what Carmen and Yurko were talking about. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
So we got to go back before we go forward. What do you think about that?
That's what I heard. I heard that before.
That's
yes.
deep, right, guys?
Well, it's like when you're building a building. You got to dig down before you can go up.
See?
I thought you were quoting Lost, actually.
No, We got to go back before we go forward. So let's go back to February 2020. And you might remember this. There was like a big to-do about, you know, a contract extension that was or wasn't offered to Chris Bryant. And Cap was one of the first to say, oh, yeah, he turned down a huge offer, like $200, $250 million. This is February 20, right, as we were getting ready to go into the darn pandemic. So this is a little over a year ago, spring training. This is, I think, with Jesse Rogers' question. Chris Bryant talking about a deal that was or was not offered to him to stay long-term with the Cubs.
Chris, you said earlier, you referenced $200 million and all that stuff. And
well north of $200 million.
Right.
And yeah.
Plus, I mean, on the record, I mean, as far as you know, you've not turned down some mega thing.
No.
People ever
I like I said, I was like, where are those? Like, I've never seen them. Never. I know that came out. I think it was last year. And when it came out, I think I was on the golf course with my dad. I'm like, what the heck is going on? Like, at the time, I feel like, okay, you know, I'm going to let this slide. Like, there wasn't trade rumors and people weren't. I mean, there were, but it wasn't like, get rid of him. He doesn't want to be here. He hates Chicago. He hates Theo. He hates the Cubs. He hates every, like, and now I'm like, okay, I need to stick up. I mean, like, I love everybody here. I love the city. Like, it's part of the game, too. People just talk. And whether it's true or not, we're just chucking darts at a wall and maybe something sticks.
All right, so it sounds like Chris Bryant saying, no, I never turned down a $250 million deal, or anything well north of $200 million. Here's Hoyer, Jed Hoyer, this morning on ESPN Chicago, talking to Cap and Hoodie about not being able to get long-term deals done with their core guys, all of which, basically, other than Contreras, were traded away on Friday.
So that is the thing that will probably be my greatest source of frustration from this era, and. I don't want to address, you know, any one of these individually, because I don't think that's. I think we said, you know, we wouldn't talk about, you know, extension talks, you know, publicly, and I think it's in bad faith to sort of do it now. But the only thing I will say is that while frustrating, I put my head on the pillow every night knowing that we put our best foot forward. The extensions that we offer these guys will hold up exceptionally well. Historically, they'll hold up exceptionally well against the open market. And I don't know why guys didn't want to sign. I don't know why guys didn't want to even counteroffer oftentimes. I don't know. And because every one of these guys would say they wanted to stay in Chicago, we want to be a Cub. But then when we sit down and do negotiations, that wasn't how they acted. And you know, I see a guy like Lance Lynn, who comes to Chicago and, you know, signs an extension. He certainly, you know, could have gotten more on the open market this winter, but hey, I want to stay here. I want to be a White Sox. And, you know, that wasn't something, you know, other than Kyle Hendricks, who I admire for really rolling up his sleeves with us, we didn't have that. And so, it's a source of incredible frustration for me, but at the same time, it's a source of zero, second guessing. It's a source of zero, you know, analysis from my end that what could we have done, because I look at it and I know what was offered and I know what the dialogue was. And I think we, like I said, we put our best foot forward. We tried our hardest, and, you know, those efforts were not reciprocated.
I mean, Jed Hoyer talking about what they're doing on the south side. And Rick Hahn has been very good at it. I don't know. What's the difference? Why have they gotten guys on the south side to take some team-friendly deals? They've been, like, Rick, how many times have we talked about it? Ever since the Eloy deal got done, right?
Well, Eloy and Robert, you need to be aggressive when you're doing that before
they
force the issue on you and make it so that they're in the majors. I think and I'm sure the Cubs tried. They, like, Scott Boras being Chris Bryant's agent probably made it very difficult.
Help. Right.
But, like, if you want to do that, in some ways, it's easier to hold your future. Hey, you want to be on the opening day roster? Why don't you sign a long-term deal right now? And, like, the Sox have been shrewd about that.
They have.
In getting Eloy and Luis Robert to ink long-term deals so that, oh, you're on the opening day roster, and now we buy out an arbitration year or two, and we have very team-friendly deals if you live up to the expectation. But also, the guys have to be willing to say, you know what, whether it's $70 million or $100 million for the first 7 years of their career, they may say, that's life-changing money. I want that long-term deal. They have to be open to that.
They did it with Sale. They did it with TA. In fairness, the Sox probably took a little bit of a gamble because TA wasn't TA when they offered him that money. He was still kind of an enigma. With a big gaping hole in his game. To TA's credit, he fixed that, and he's become an all-star caliber player. But yeah, they've done it with a lot of guys. They got Lance Lynn, and you get the other GM talking about what they're doing on the south side. He is seemingly of the mindset that they have made good offers and that they're going to, quote unquote, he said, will hold up exceptionally well.
Well, nobody knows what the numbers are.
Nobody does.
So and he can say, right. Listen, yeah. Jedi can say whatever the hell he wants.
Nobody, you don't know him to be a BSer, though, right?
Nobody knows what the offers were, okay? And in the time where you've had a pandemic and it stifled the business end of what is Major League Baseball, well, one could then probably say, well, hey, now we've talked about the $25 million a year contract, 10 years, 250, Tom Hicks gave Alex Rodriguez. That happened in 2000.
21 years ago.
Yeah. That happened a long time ago, Carm. They haven't made the improvements that Major League Baseball has made. No. The owners have been bringing it in left over right. Meanwhile, the players haven't necessarily shared in the same percentages that they once used to share in. So I never can believe a general manager when he comes out there and he says that sort of thing. Okay, I'm not believing Scott Boras either when he comes out and says what he is. Those guys represented themselves and presented themselves as being the smartest guys in the room. Jed Hoyer, Theo Epstein.
I think
they
Theo, maybe. Ways. I don't know if Jed does.
He's part of it. Carm, listen, he says we. If Theo's doing it, the rest of his brain trust is the guy. They're under the same umbrella as Theo Epstein. They've gained the system over the course of time with their little computer and what they did with international signings and what they did here with there. If I'm an agent, I'm a player, I don't necessarily trust everything that's going on all the time. So it's against the backdrop of that, along with what happened with the pandemic, that sure, he could sit here and confidently maybe say that, but not if things were rolling the way they'd been rolling over the course of time and this little, you know, thing happened.
You think that the agents are telling him not to stay because they've got some sort of axe to grind with the way Theo's done business?
No, that's not at all what I'm saying. I'm saying that any hometown discount and hometown deal that you're willing to take would probably end up being a lot less what you might be able to get out on the market.
Yeah, no, I'm with Yurkel. Like, let's hammer down on the language. So Chris Bryant, in that bite that you just played, Carm, you know, he made it a point, the whole idea of, quote, well north of 200,
right.
Which, let's be honest, that could mean almost any figure, because I could make the argument that 215 is $15 million. That's well north of 200.
Yeah.
Maybe, though, Chris Bryant and his camp, knowing that there's a chance in February of 20, looking at Bryce Harper's contract, Manny Machado's contract, that $300 million was like the starting point where they, at least for them, where they want to have a negotiation.
Not only that, what you call good business, when they went and worked the system to get another year of control on Chris Bryant. Yeah. Chris Bryant looks at you screwed me.
But every guy does that.
Chris Bryant looks at it like you screwed me.
But
you screwed me, and now you want me to take less of a deal while you're screwing me at the same time.
One year later. Yeah. One year later, he didn't get paid the millions of dollars and he had to wait. And you know what happened?
So then they are holding it against them. Then,
animosity's created. Yeah. But
and you know what happened?
They created the atmosphere. Yeah. Maybe you don't have that atmosphere on the side. You asked why.
No. I know. That's not created on the side.
I understand because they went, like Mellor said, they went. They didn't have to control the clock on Aloy. He signed. They offered him a deal. He took it.
Right.
I guess that's maybe where the Cubs' failings were. I don't know. But it's not his failings. You need a player who's willing to take that deal.
Oh, right.
Like Chris Bryant had Scott Boras.
He was never going to take that.
He went to college. He was the Golden Spikes Award winner, right?
Yeah.
They knew what they had with him when they drafted him for the most part. He proved it fairly quickly. And Scott Boras was like, dude.
We've got to find, has there ever been a player that's had the clock, clock controlled on him,
like
that signed, that ended up sticking with his team? Maybe you're right. Maybe the answer's no. Maybe every one of them, great player that's had this pulled on him has said F off
right.
to their franchise. Maybe you're 100%. And they had no chance of ever signing Chris Bryant because of that.
Could be.
And so he's left wondering, well, why oh why? We're also, you know, and maybe it's as simple as that. The minute they did it, you go, yeah, you can do it. That's well within your right. We will never sign here.
Right.
And I got news for everybody. Chris Bryant's getting paid. Scott Boras always gets his clients paid. And Chris Bryant's had a bounce back year. And if he plays well now for San Francisco and they go to the playoffs, he's getting paid. Scott Boras gets all of his guys paid. When we come back, Rick Hahn asked about the future of Craig Kimbrell, who is not necessarily just a 2 or 3 month rental. We'll play what Rick Hahn said with Cap and Hoodie coming up next. This hour of the show is brought to you by the Home Loan Expert. Last year, their average client received almost $40,000 at closing from easy cash out refis. Visit thehomeloanexpert.com.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
If you miss something, the podcast is out there. The all-new ESPN Chicago app is here. Get it now.
By the way, Carm.
Yes, Merck.
Yesterday, I was leaving last night to go celebrate a lovely occasion for a bat mitzvah party. Mm-hmm. And Brett was home, and he had the Angels-A's game on.
Mm-hmm.
8-3, bottom seven. Fans are still going nuts. Sure. You know why? Because Shohei came up.
Of course.
He's Sammy Sosa.
He's Sammy in the late 90s. That's exactly what's happening. They're like two games below 500 again. Can't get out of their own way. It's Carmen and Yurko. Coming up in 10 minutes, we're going to talk to Dan Wiederer, get an update on Bears camp. Still no Tevin Jenkins, although Nagy said, I guess it's trending in a good direction.
He's got the back issue. Remember the last offensive tackle we drafted with the back issue?
I brought it up on
Chris
Friday.
Williams.
And I got yelled at by a lot of Bears fans. They're like, well, why would you bring him up?
I'm
like,
because I'm going to bring it up to you.
That's what it made me think of.
I drafted a guy that had a back issue, and he wasn't worth crap. That's why it's being brought up. Because history precedes itself.
Well, we'll get into that more with Dan. I don't want to panic, and maybe that's totally unfair, but like, I thought the same thing you thought. I'm like, wait a minute. They didn't do anything. He hasn't practiced. It's like Chris Williams all over again. I'm like, a back injury? They haven't practiced.
Why'd
like,
you bring
what
it
happened?
Up? Because we have memories.
I don't know. We'll talk to Dan coming up. Here's Rick Hahn earlier. If you missed an interview, Jed and Rick were both on the station. You've got to have the ESPN Chicago app. We tell you that all the time. People have it, right? Everybody's got it.
It's
not,
free.
Shame on you.
It's free, guys.
It's free, but you can catch up on all the interviews if you ever
go to
miss
the
anything.
Apple Store. It's free.
You can get the Odds Couple podcast. You get Crosstalk Unhinged.
No, App Store. Not Apple Store. App Store.
The App Store.
I'm sorry. You get Unhinged. You get it all.
Yeah, all of it. The Golf Club podcast.
You know, Randy almost made me so happy.
The Armchair Nutritionist.
He goes, I was going to leave. I hope the next two words were the station. Instead, he said he left to go to a bat mitzvah.
You know,
I'm like, God.
You know, with friends like
almost yeah. made me happy.
I will leave sometime, and you'll miss me, Yurko. You'll miss me.
So that's the day.
Here's Rick Hahn talking about Craig Kimbrell, who might not just be a 2 or 3 month rental because there is an option. There's a vesting option and a team option for next year. Cap and Hoodie asked, do you plan to pick up Kimbrell's option next year?
Certainly. When we acquired Craig, it was very much with the understanding that he was controllable for 2022 and that there's a extremely strong chance that he gets to play an important role for us again next year. So we didn't view him or for that matter, Cesar Hernandez, who also has a team option on him, as simply rentals. You know, that enhances the price a little bit, which you know, we paid knowing that this was not necessarily a one and done with either player.
See, how about that? Not necessarily a one and done. He started that by saying, look, we're not going to do anything now because it wouldn't make sense. We'll wait. We'll see what happens with the season. But, you know, almost made it seem like as long as Craig stays healthy and we kick some ass in the playoffs, yeah, $16 million. Because it does have a feel. I don't want to get too far over my skis here. And I think that's an expression, Meller, you're a skier, because if you get too far over, you'll tumble.
Oh, yeah.
I don't ski, but...
Yeah. You want body weight distributed evenly.
That's right. I don't want to get too far out over my skis here, but it does kind of have the look and feel of some of those, like, mid-2000s Astros bullpens, or the 14,
give me the names.
So
you're talking like Dotel, Lidge.
Oswalt, Dotel, and Lidge. Remember?
Well, Oswalt was
a starter. Not Oswalt. It was
Wagner. Chad Qualls.
It was Wagner, Lidge, and who am I missing? Dotel. That's it. Thank you. Excuse me. Not Roy Oswalt. You know, it has me thinking of 14-15 Royals, where it was Herrera and into before Wade.
Wade Davis.
Greg
Holland.
Greg Holland. Yeah, it was Greg Holland and Herrera and Wade Davis. Like, it's starting to have that kind of feel. If you get 2 years out of that where you're in this window, you know, Kopech, and Kopech might be a starter next year, but let's use the bummer Kopech combo. Here's Matt Wills walking by the State Street studio.
Oh, see, it's the window. That's what it does to us.
The bummer Kopech into, you know.
What's your order, Kimbrel or Hendricks? How are you doing
I'm thinking Kimbrel, it's going to be Kimbrel Hendricks. Yes. That's what I think.
Agreed.
Yeah. I mean, that's lights out.
I don't think for a whole year Craig Kimbrel is going to be happy me in the eighth inning.
You don't think next year?
Well, listen, the flexibility is they can move somebody at the trade deadline next year if there's not joy in Mudville.
He knows he's got one or two more great years to pile up saves for his Hall of Fame career.
This was a topic of conversation before. I don't want to interrupt you, Merck, but it's a good lead into what was being discussed in our IDOT bullpen. IDOT reminds you to start seeing motorcycles. Motorcycle safety is everyone's responsibility, after all, so be safe. Learn more at lifeordeathillinois.com. I was trying to tell Meller, like, I think it might already be done where Craig Kimbrel's in the Hall of Fame. Look, we treat closers differently. For a while, it was hard. If your name wasn't like Suter or Eck or Gossage, maybe, like, and it even took Goose Gossage, I think, a while.
Yes,
like,
it did.
It was kind of hard, right? But Lee Smith finally got in. Mariano was unbelievable, and he was rewarded deservingly. Trevor Hoffman. Like, don't we kind of understand the great importance of the closer's role now in a time when it was so important? You know, this guy's got like five or six seasons with more than 40 saves. He led the league in saves four consecutive years at one point. Like, isn't Craig Kimbrel already in the Hall of Fame?
He may be, but the one thing, he certainly may be. I don't think we know exactly how current baseball writers are going to handle the, you know, when lockdown closers come up who have done it for whatever, a decade. But the one thing is, Craig Kimbrel currently sits at ninth all time. Currently updated, or if it's from the beginning of the season, but so I think it looks like he's six saves behind Joe Nathan to where he'll move into eighth place. He's got if you look though, he's only 107 or so saves behind Lee Smith, who's third all time.
Wow.
He's not the closer for the rest of the season because the White Sox use predominantly Hendricks. And then next year, if they pick up his option and he's not closing again, I'm not saying that he won't be a Hall of Famer, but there's one stat if you're a closer that matters, right?
Saves.
You don't think Craig Kimbrel would like to be third all time when his career wraps up? And if you take away the next season in 2 months?
Yeah. Well, I don't know, man. This is interesting then.
That's probably about 60.
Like Yurko said, will there be harmony?
It's 50 saves.
It's 50 saves. Yeah. And like Meller was saying earlier when we were discussing this before the show, he goes, the one thing that might always hang over his head, or at least it could right now, is that the time he was pitching deep into the postseason in a team that he was on won the World Series, he was demoted because it's when the struggle started late in 2018. I don't know. I hope they can make it work and they can all be happy for the rest of this year and next, because the way that bullpen looks on paper, man, is just absolutely filthy and lights out. You've basically made it a six-inning game.
I want you to ponder this. What would you consider a disappointment?
Okay,
for this White Sox team?
I'll ponder that.
I will. For a while.
We'll talk about it during the 11 o'clock hour. As happy as I am because of everything that went on Friday and over the weekend, I've got one thing kind of weighing on my mind. Toronto want to, I'd like to bring the listeners inside on that a little bit.
I'd love to hear that.
And Dan Wiederer is going to, as Capwood Hoodie was
saying. He's going to join us.
He's going to join us to talk about Bears camp. Quarterbacks, who look good over the weekend, what's going on with Tevin Jenkins, all that stuff. We will get an update from Hallis when we return in 2 minutes.